It is written that on this day in the year 8086, the pilgrims and the natives of North America gathered to give thanks. The Indians were grateful that their new neighbors brought with them video games and knowledge of microprocessors, while the European settlers, for their part, were happy to have learned from the indigenous folk the ways of fantasy, dice, and the painting of miniature figurines. It is in commemoration of this event that we of the Nerdstravaganza podcast are gathered to discuss something completely unrelated. Welcome to the Thanksgiving, but not really, episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. What's new? What have you guys been up to since last time we spoke?
How about you? I've been TV Keith. Shopping.
You actually went to TV shopping? Like, for real?
Yes.
Did you buy one?
I have not purchased a television.
Okay. I was going to say, have you spent a lot of time looking at specs trying to figure out what one to buy?
Not a ton of time, but yes, I've spent time. I'm kind of a spec whore, so I like, you know, looking for what's got everything that I'm never going to use. But spent a lot of time on that. My TV went out, in case nobody knows. My TV went out, so I've been shopping for a new television, and I've been watching a lot of TV on my tablet, which I'm really enjoying.
Very cool.
And it's the most use my tablet has gotten since I purchased it. I signed up for Netflix, and I'm watching Heroes all over again, and it's glorious.
So you don't have an app that lets you watch actual TV or like through the ABC or the channel websites? You're just going through Netflix on this?
Correct, because I really never watched any network TV anyway.
Ah. So, Keith, and I'm going to ask each of you this, you know, in commemoration of our relative proximity to the American Thanksgiving holiday, what thing are you thankful for? Hopefully within the realm of our Nerdstravaganza subject matter, but it could be anything. What are you thankful for, sir?
I'm thankful for being single and having no children. Because it allows me to purchase things without any thought, financial planning, or anything.
And you get the glory of having 4 days off without having to worry about what anybody else wants to do.
Amen, brother.
There is that. What about you? Who wants to go next?
Grant.
I'll go.
Grant.
Actually, I'm fairly eventful. Well, my birthday was this past week, so that means a lot of new purchases.
17, 18?
Yeah, you know something. You know what? We'll go with that.
It was actually on the 19th.
Ugh. God, no, so a lot of purchases and a lot of doing stuff. Main thing, I bought Skyrim.
Ooh.
Did you actually buy it?
Well, it was a gift card purchase, so I got it.
I love that. G-O-U-G-H-T. Grant made it up, and it's being trademarked.
Yeah, it's what you do when you get something with a gift card. No, so I've been playing a lot of Skyrim, probably about maybe 15 hours deep so far. I've played all the Elder Scrolls games, so this is probably my favorite, and I'm having a good time with it. So, yay Skyrim.
Cool.
And it's a single-player type of game, right? Not online.
Purely single-player, and it's pretty much just the kind of the classic vein of the open-world RPG. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the first-person action slant that the Elder Scrolls games puts on it. Great game, though.
Cool. What are you thankful for, Grant, besides Skyrim? Where's Skyrim at?
Oh, well, I'm thankful that I made it another year. Yeah. That's
congratulations.
I'm thankful for all my friends. I got some people together and I played paintball. That was my other big event.
Ooh.
I played paintball for the first time in 10 years, which still a lot of fun. It feels like really, really stressful hide and seek where you get shot. So I'm a big fan of that. A few good bruises and my legs were sore from a bunch of... I actually did some diving.
You know, nice.
Some rolling around, some crawling. It was a good time.
Stressful hide and seek with painful tagging is about how I remember it too. So that's a good description.
A lot of really sweary 11-year-old kids with expensive equipment. Like freakishly, if you think it's bad to play Modern Warfare with a child that's swearing, when the kids are actually shooting you and physical prowess is also an issue, it's twice as humiliating and it's absolutely horrible. It is awful.
What about the guy that walked up, stood on your chest and said, "You're down, and don't forget to tell your buddy Tom, I'm waiting at the GameStop to whip his ass again."
That little punk.
Yeah, you know, you don't get teabagged in real life, which is...
Grant, taking up too much time, I completely relate. There was a uniformed little cadre of jerks that played with us back in the unsanctioned days in, like, you know, people's private land, and they called themselves the Dragon Warriors, and they had, like, the little Dragon Warrior Drake as a patch, and the little shits were really good and had, like, the best equipment, and I hated playing against them.
Now, what kind of swearing? What kind of words do they use?
Oh, the worst.
Is there any major word that was used often?
They just, a lot of, like, 12-year-old kids dropping the F-bomb. It was bizarre. Like, who lets, like, these kids are just running loose there with hundreds of dollars worth of equipment, just swearing and kind of being awful. I mean, they were good sports, at least. Like, after they beat us, you know, like, we at least got a thank you and a good game out of them, but still.
Well, the only reason I brought it up real quickly is I play World of Warcraft on an Australian server, and I found that the children on there like to use the C word quite a bit.
Crap?
It seems to be their... No, not crap. The one that you can yell at your girlfriend when she's really pissing you off.
Oh, God. That's a great way to escalate things into worse territory. But no,
exactly.
I did not hear that.
I just found it interesting that they use that word so often, whereas here in America we would use some less volatile but equally sweary words.
These were good old boy redneck kids dropping good old boy, you know, F-bombs. So thankful for that as well. But that's it for me.
So, Rick, what about you, man?
I, my friend, have been on a pilgrimage.
Get it?
A pilgrimage to settle Catan.
Nice.
Oh, you're finally getting into that one. The board game or the video game?
I've witnessed the board game before, and it vaguely intrigued me, but...
Game rules.
But I was a little, I don't like to read and have to learn rules, so anytime
when Rick plays Monopoly, he just grabs the money. I won.
Yeah, I don't care how much money I get. Yeah, so I prefer playing video games, or I prefer playing the video version of a lot of board games, at least in ones that it translates well, because it can teach me as I go, and I don't have to worry about knowing the rules or, you know, ahead of time, or relying on people's patience to deal with me and my inability to really care to learn the rules. So I downloaded it a while back when it was on sale on Xbox Live and just haven't been had a chance to play it because I've been so wrapped up in 1943 and Battlefield 2 Vietnam, but I decided I was going to get off the battlefield and decide and go settle some settlements. And I've been having a blast. The game's really fun. I haven't played online yet with anybody, but some of my friends have it, and that's my plans for Thanksgiving weekend. Catan it out.
It's definitely a lot of fun, in person at least, to all the little machinations and planning that everybody does. Also, I'm going to go ahead and say that if you can say the words, "I've got wood for sheep," it's pretty much comic gold. And that's the basis of my love of Settlers of Catan, is sheep and wood jokes.
Rick, remind me to teach you the sheep strategy, which is a proven winner.
Okay.
No. You go for ore. Ore is the way to win that game.
So you're thankful for Catan, you'd say, Rick?
No, I'm not. Well, I am. But actually what I'm really thankful for is my brand new Arduino Mega that I purchased at Radio Shack.
Well, again with the Radio Shack sponsor.
So I'm really not thankful for my Mega, but I'm thankful for Radio Shack for stepping up their DIY game and making me not have to wait days on end and worry about my front office being closed at the condo and not being able to pick up the packages that I waited so impatiently for.
For my part, I I've been in the Pacific Northwest, as regular listeners will know, and I was able to pop down to Portland this past weekend. I was able to take a train down, which was totally awesome because I like taking alternative forms of transit. Let's say
transit.
It was a total, like, it was bus in Seattle, train to Portland, light rail to my hotel, then light rail back to the destination that I really wanted to get to, which was the Ground Control Classic Arcade. The place never fails to deliver. I go in. I mean, I could spend like probably 24 hours there just playing stuff and drinking at the bar. You know, it's awesome. It's like they've constructed like my favorite hangout. Honestly, I wish we had that. You're utterly unfamiliar. It is a classic arcade with a small bar.
It's a barcade. Yeah.
It's essentially it's that concept, and it is cool, man. The place, it looks cool. They've moved some of the games out from in front of the bar and put in some cool glowing tables, and like the ambiance is really awesome. They've kind of classed it up a little bit since last time I was there, and of course my favorite is the bathroom, which is all tiled in Pac-Man, in a Pac-Man theme, and has like a cool glowing sink table.
Nice.
It's just cool, man. It's awesome. And then they're playing like I'm recognizing like Ikari Warriors themes and like Castlevania songs, you know, being played either basically like, you know, instrumentally, and the place is just awesome, man. I can't say enough about it. I blitz out every time I go there, and I am thankful that it exists.
Is it purely retro arcade stuff, or do they have new stuff as well?
Purely retro. Purely retro, except I was pleased as punch to find out that when I walked in, they had the four-player versus Pac-Man game.
Oh, they have that.
Yeah, you can play that on the iPad tablet four-player, but it obviously loses something in the translation. You walk right in, and they've got this thing, and you basically are playing a versus Pac-Man, like, you know, on this awesome stand-up table. It was great. That was like the most notable new addition. Aside from that, they have a bunch of really good classic stuff and some really good pinball stuff upstairs. I'm thankful that I was able to go there. I'm thankful it exists, and I'm thankful for that someday I'll be able to go back.
Nice.
That's it. Oh, I've also got Skyrim, and it's awesome. Anyway, aside from that, you know, that's my roundup. So I guess we can probably delve into our topic.
Let's do it.
Cool. As I mentioned in my well-written and delivered historical intro about Thanksgiving, we're not going to talk about anything to do with that. We touched on the Giving Thanks business, and now we're going to get into a topic that I came up with that I think the guys are on board with. We'll find out. That topic is the set-top box.
I'm against it. This topic's bullshit.
Unicorns, I'm against it.
Elves, I'm out of here.
Elf, I'm out. That's one of Bert's classic lines. So the set-top box, I mean, a little history to give you my perspective on the topic. Going all the way back to like the 90s when the systems like the Philips CDI and the Panasonic 3DO came out, there was this notion that these companies were going to create a set-top box that was going to be sort of your all-in-one entertainment device. Now, at the time, of course, networking wasn't really part of the equation. It was like, oh, you're going to be able to play, like, you know, video CDs and gaming CDs and, like, look on the encyclopedia, you know, everything's going to be on CD. Ooh, the future. But the concept, you know, has morphed over time and I think still persists to this day. Or you know, maybe it doesn't. That's what we can discuss. Are we going to get to the point... The question I want to ask is, are we going to get to the point where we have sort of a consolidation where you're going to have like a single system or a single machine or even integrated components in your television that let you play games, watch movies, listen to music, etc.? Or are we going to continue to have basically a bunch of peripheral devices all plugged into your television set? That's on the hardware side of things. And on the software side of things, assuming we do somehow get to some standard hardware set, are you going to be able to consume basically any type of media? Can we see industry going in a direction where you buy media once and can consume it on a number of devices or your single set-top box device? So those are sort of the broad strokes, those are the topics I'd like to touch on. And if anybody wants to jump in first besides me, let him say so now.
Well, it seems like there's a few different points how you could break this topic down, right?
Yeah.
One, and the big thing, I didn't mention this enough, but I just got a Google TV this weekend also.
Oh.
Which is kind of a step toward this. And one of the big things people are hoping for from this device that it doesn't deliver is the cutting yourself free from a cable provider for television content. And that seems like a pretty big component of having an all-in-one kind of television box solution. So I was saying you could definitely break part of this down into that. And it seems like you touched a little bit on having some kind of streaming media server within your household to deliver your content, like download it once to that device and deliver it to any of your other household devices. DLNA? That's the current standard for that.
I believe I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned something there, Grant. Okay, getting away from cable or satellite with a Google TV, how do you get your media then?
Well, it has the big one, of course, is Netflix. That is probably the biggest supplier of streaming video content to household devices like your Xbox, your Boxy, PlayStation 3, or Wii.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I think we all have those, and we've already got the majority. What I want to know is what does the Apple TV do that those don't?
As far as I know, the big draw of the Apple TV is that
or the Google TV, say either, okay. You know, that sort of thing. I just don't know what they do.
The primary draw of the Google TV is actually that it has HDMI pass through where your cable box runs through the Google TV,
and so then you still have cable.
Yes, yeah, so that's the major failing. That's the major thing it's not providing here. That seems important, but this has the cable passes through it. So it has, you can bring up information on the screen and also search for, say, I don't know, 30 Rock, and it'll tell you if 30 Rock's on, you can switch to that channel or watch 30 Rock from your Netflix queue.
Okay, so like, you still got like an internet connection to it or something so it can do that? Or
yes, it's Wi-Fi enabled. But I would say one of the big things that would be needed in one of these devices for it to be truly what we'd like to see would be the ability to just download shows from, say, ABC.com or AMC, right, and actually not have to have a cable provider providing the actual, you know, the digital cable service. You would obviously still need internet, but
gotcha.
So I would say this is one of the three major points that you would need from a proper set-top box: the ability to easily download and consume content from the internet and not have to rely on a actual cable provider for television.
That sounds cool.
I agree with that.
But I mean, it sounds like you still have got some sort of cable going in.
Yeah,
there,
it's
right?
It's absolutely not there yet.
Currently,
well,
right.
That sort of touches more. That touches on sort of the media aspect. And I mean, are you gonna have sort of this? Are you going to be able to, like Grant said, pull things down sort of a la carte, you know, from the ether, you know, download it from the content producers directly, you know, just basically cherry pick whatever you want to watch, whatever playlist, whatever channel lineup, if you will.
Right.
Are we going to get to that point?
Coming from the standpoint of a person who is just starting to delve into this, I just got my first current console, and it's not even current. I'm looking to buy a new TV. Now, I got my, and I also have a tablet, so I'm exploring the world of Netflix on my tablet. I've got
a wonderful world, right?
I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and even only done one thing on it. But so it's got Netflix, and I'm really digging that as it is. My PS3 can also do Netflix and have other online content that it can display, that sort of thing. It's got its own movie system, which I haven't even used yet, and that sort of thing. And I'm looking to buy a TV, and a lot of the TVs have all of this same type of stuff where they've got this online component to them where you can download videos, download movies, run apps and stuff like that. And it's almost like it's a free-for-all at this point, and there isn't any sort of consolidation, and there might be a couple major competitors out there to do it, but it just seems to me like everybody's scrambling to get the one that catches on, and it might just be in the TV itself. It looks like, you know, that if the TV comes with everything you need, why do I need to buy an extra box?
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I love lots of things in that stereo rack. I like my stereo. I like my CD player. I like my – if I was to have a cable box, I'd like a cable box. I like my PS3, my Xbox, all of that. I like having all the separate components. But there's a ton of redundancy as far as this goes. So,
oh, there's so much. I have more Netflix players in my house now than I do televisions.
Exactly. The only problem I see – and like I said, I'm really enjoying watching Heroes on Netflix. In 20 years, when I'm playing with my nieces and nephews and my great nieces and nephews, will I be able to stream Heroes on Netflix for them? Or is that going to be gone? I mean, like, what's the lifespan of a video, a TV series, or a movie that somebody's going to host and allow you to stream?
That's a good question.
Well, what's the lifespan of a DVD?
As long as you hold it.
I'm not. Is that entirely true?
Barring any, physical defects, yeah, they've got a lifespan of like 30, 40 years.
It's not like he's worried about the files wearing out. It's more like who's going to pay for this? Like, when does it become the point where they start deciding, storage is getting expensive to keep all this stuff. Let's clean house and flush the toilet and get rid of a bunch of old stuff so we can host all this new stuff.
I don't think so. I mean, people still maintain the masters largely for old television series, like when it's actually more expensive and more difficult to maintain physical media. With the unfortunate floods, notwithstanding, with the fact that hard drive space is becoming cheaper, I don't think we're going to see, a mass exodus or mass dumping of all these old television series. I believe they're going to maintain and be better archived from now into the future than were in the past.
I agree.
Well, like right now, I can't find Cheers.
A lot of stuff.
But Cheers is out there. It's not like it's been deleted. If it ever is digitized, it will be digitized and available in the future.
Right.
And they could have some type of thing going on right now with Zune where, maybe Zune has the exclusive rights right now for the first 5 years of it of Cheers being out digitally outside of a DVD series offering.
Right.
And that's the thing. I mean, you got stuff like Netflix where you pay $7 and you can watch all kinds of stuff for free that they charge on Zune.
Right.
Like TV shows that are out right now. I can go, Family Guy. I can watch a bunch of Family Guy for free, or I could pay X amount of Microsoft dollar points if I watch it on Zune. It just makes no sense to me why some places charge and some places don't. I mean, I understand if it's exclusive content and whatnot, but when you're looking at Hulu, Zune, and Netflix,
Amazon, Netflix, yeah,
all having, Family Guy and American Dad, three of them are free, one of them charges per episode. It's like, why do they even bother?
Right. Well, I think this kind of highlights one of the major issues that this kind of content is going to run into in the future. A lot of it's at the mercy of the content providers and what kind of deals and negotiations they want to strike up. So I think that's definitely an issue. But in the long haul, it seems like we're on track to largely have streaming content on demand at your fingertips.
Well, there you go. You guys really sort of focused on what I consider to be the current state of things, which is that you've already got sort of this collection of hardware, several game systems, a television, computer, all of which, so you already have all these different hardware devices for different purposes. Now we've added this basic, they're now a plethora of sort of middlemen streaming services on top of that. Are we going to get to a point where there's any kind of consolidation, or are we just going to have an explosion of yet more hardware and more sort of middleman, software to manage the streaming?
I prefer to see diversity in the content providers have the ability to go through Amazon Prime or Netflix to actually get your content, Hulu, so they negotiate and prices stay low and there's competition to provide newer content. I like to see that those can all be consolidated onto separate consumer hardware devices like the Xbox, the PlayStation 3, the Google TV, so that those are competing to provide better user experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the end result would be to be able to have one device in your house, preferably external from your television, that can handle all of your media consumption needs.
Yeah, that's I would like to see that too. Basically, you have these software widgets for the different content providers, you know, in your sort of Swiss Army knife of widgets that are on your single streaming device, which I think could also be a sort of attachable module for your television. But
you say it so technically. You mean a big old box beneath your TV?
No, I mean, you know, something that fits in with the form factor of your TV, and you just bolt it right on. I really hate the idea. I'd really despise aesthetically a box hanging out there on its own.
Oh, I love a box. I'm like Keith in there. Like, I love the shiny black box with all the buttons and LEDs. So I can say bam.
I love six remote thing. Controls. I really do.
Plus, I also think the ability to consume like hard physical media is important for this. Would we say that I know that there's the importance that your set-top box be able to download and purchase new media. Like, say your Xbox, you can go on Xbox Live Arcade, buy new games. But I also like the ability to buy physical media at GameStop or Walmart or Radio Shack, not really, and then put it in your device.
Well, that was another point that I think I wanted to touch on tonight. And Rick, what do you think? You've been listening a little bit tonight. I'll let you take the lead on this next bit. What do you think about physical media? Is that going to stick around as we move to more streaming?
I think it will, but simply because, like Grant said, like, there's some things that people just like to buy. There's a good possibility that it's going to go the way of the record album, you know, where it doesn't necessarily disappear, but it completely changes. I mean, back in the day, you'd buy a record album, you'd have all these big pictures, you could open it up, you could see stuff in there. You know, then cassettes didn't really have that, and it really affected people. So they started making all the big long foldouts in cassette tapes. You know what I mean? There is something to be said about purchasing something. Like, I love the fact that I can buy games on my Xbox through the arcade.
It's really
helpful. But if anything costs more than, like, say, $15, I don't do it. I don't know why.
Because it's not something physical?
Yeah. There's something about that in my makeup. I mean, kids, maybe younger kids, it wouldn't have any effect on them. But for me, I think something deep-seated and psychological is telling me,
you don't really own something, right?
I don't really own it, yeah. What if my hard drive crashes? Well, yeah, it's backed up. I can just say, hey, here's my passcode, here's my thing. I can still get it. And it's something that I'm getting used to, but there still is. Mentally, I have a barrier. If it's over odd. X amount of dollars, I don't feel comfortable.
I feel the exact same way. Even if it were cheaper to buy it, say if it was $20 to download the full game and $30 to buy it in the store,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably buy it in the store. I like having the collection of games. I like looking at it. I like when I'm bored going to my shelf, browsing a game, and putting it in my Xbox, which has a broken CD drawer, so it's twice as inconvenient.
But I will say this. In the same token, I find that I play the games that are on my Xbox that I don't have to get up. If I turn it on and there's a game I don't want to play in there, I'll just play something else. Even if the game I want to play is sitting right next to me, I just don't want to get up and put it in. I'm like, I'm already in game mode. So I'll just find something else and be like, oh, that's in my list and that's on my hard drive. I'll just play this.
Oh, God, that's the worst. Like, I'll be sitting around the house bored. This is related, I guess. Like, sitting around the house bored, like, man, what am I going to do? Flip through TV? Oh, Star Wars is on FX. With commercials in a worse format when I have the DVD on my shelf.
You'll watch Star Wars every time on FX, man. Spike, you can't help it.
Yeah, I'll watch the damn thing on TV with commercials when I'm bored, and it'll be the greatest thing ever, even though I could just put in the DVD from my collection into my media player. That's a digression from our topic, but yeah, I'm almost contradicting myself in my love of physical media here.
I don't think it's that much of a digression because it sort of gets into the questions I wanted to answer. I think we're rapidly coming to a conclusion that no time soon will we see sort of the quintessential set-top box. We may see an increase in sort of the smart capabilities of TVs where they'll have more streaming providers widgets built in. Like, my TV has Netflix, and newer TVs have several. But as far as, and then here's the next question. Are we going to see I think I already know the answer based on what you guys have said. Are we going to see a consolidation of gaming, of a game system and, you know, basically passive entertainment system, your TV, music, et cetera? Are you ever going to see that beyond just a console with those capabilities? Is that what you're going to see?
I totally think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through the game console first.
Well, the game consoles...
Because they're so ubiquitous.
I'll say game consoles were really the first DVD player that a lot of people owned through the PlayStation 2. And the only Blu-ray player that most people, and I would say a lot of people own, is the PS3.
Exactly. So that's very true, and that's sort of fitting into the vision of those older disc-based systems.
And when you're talking about all the announcements that they've been giving for Xbox Live, where you're going to be able to just watch TV through your Xbox Live, through your cable provider. I mean, it's not exactly the utopian version, but it's a version. You know what I mean? I mean, what's next? It's like, okay, well, I don't have the streaming TV, but, you know, I love all the shows on Fox, so I'm just going to, you know, subscribe to the Fox channel. I like Cooking Channel, so I'm just going to subscribe to the Cooking Channel. You know what I mean? I mean, the streaming of TV through a device other than your cable box, it's right there on the table. It's just being...
That's a dream.
It's not a dream. It's been announced.
No. It's a beautiful
dream. Yeah. And it's a reality because it's being prepared to be delivered to us as we speak. They're just putting the trimmings on it.
I mean, there are also a lot of companies that are kind of blocking that kind of access to their platforms. For instance, I believe it's Hulu and ABC block Android devices from being able to view their content online. I think you have to do a little bit of witchcraft to make that happen.
Wow. Why is that?
But that goes...
Content provider arrangements, I believe.
Right.
I see.
But if you have the initial start to this utopia that we are referring to starts with having the ugly cable provider spitting its goo into your set-top box.
That was the absolute worst visual metaphor I have ever heard in my life.
So with the introduction of being able to stream your cable, you know, I have Comcast cable, I have an Xbox, stream it through there, that's where I watch it from. I go to my TV app on my Xbox and I watch regular live TV. And I can record that TV like it's a DVR onto my hard drive. I mean, that's there and it's coming out, so... It's just one more step of, okay, get that ugly cable box out of my way. Now I can watch my downloadable content. I can listen to my streaming music. I can buy movies. I can watch regular TV. I can do all this and play games through my Xbox.
Can we just admit that the cable box is probably the worst television peripheral ever?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I grew up with that one. It was just the cable and your television. I absolutely despise the cable box. The interface, everything about them is absolutely horrible.
It adds nothing to your experience.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Well, sorry, Keith, go ahead.
Was it supposed to be anything more than a channel changer?
It's a security device. It's sort of, you know, yeah, you can access our content, but you have to do it through this stupid device.
Right.
It doesn't add anything to your experience. It detracts from it. My TV has a beautiful interface. My Comcast box's interface is from 1997.
It's another remote control to confuse your girlfriend. And then God forbid one of your devices get out of sync and you try to press the all on button.
Oh yeah.
No. Oh. Yeah. I think the utopian vision is a big problem though, because like right now I gotta admit Netflix is awesome. I pay $8 a month. I can watch whatever they offer as much as I can.
Are they sponsoring this now too?
Yeah,
we're plugging them a lot here. Can you get Netflix at Radio Shack?
I wish. but where I'm going with this is, you know, there's X number of people subscribing to Netflix. At some point, Paramount is going to say, all right, you've got X number of users and they're watching our movies Y number of times. We want more money for licensing. And then, you know, somebody's got to pay for all this. And at some point, I see the costs for these sorts of things, you know, getting into the areas of cable, maybe starting at more like $20, or maybe it would be like a pay per channel or pay per view where you want to watch a show, you pay your $1.50 and you get to see that half hour.
That's how Zoom is.
Right. And so, I mean, but you know, so there, I think they might right now, like you said, it sucks that you got to pay for it, but they might be ahead of that game because they're already working on that kind of a model where these other places, you know, I think they might get hosed by this. And I'm taking my cues from the music industry. Once music was easily gettable and, you know, without having to purchase anything, it's taken a dive, I think. And I think that the same might happen with the TV and broadcast media and movies, that sort of thing. And they just, you know, it just, the technology wasn't there. You know, when MP3s were created, there wasn't a whole lot of video compression and internet bandwidth to handle it all. So there's somebody's going to have to pay for it, and it might be us. And if it turns out you're paying as much as you were for cable for this other thing, is that, I mean, is it, if the experience is no better.
Here's why that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Because you don't have to lay new shit. It's already there. Like it's, I mean, Netflix, like a lot of this stuff isn't new. Like Netflix has been around for, fuck, it seems like 10 years. I mean, I know it hasn't been 10 years, but it's been around forever, and it's been the same price forever.
Right.
And although other people have come along, the price barrier has always stayed in the exact same range. The
only thing that's... But Netflix has like changed its content lineup. They recently lost Stars this year. Like there is some individual posturing within the content providers that go through Netflix.
That's right. What I'm saying, but competition.
But I don't think that competition is going to make it be more expensive because it's.
To me, it seems like people are going to be offering more exclusive content, and for that, you're going to have to pay.
But I think if that's going to happen, that's not going to happen in the future. It may happen in the near future, but. Like, this is as hot as it's going to get right now. Right now, it's a buzz. Right now, it's, ooh, my tablet does this, and my eye does that, and blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't happen within the next year, I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Because...
That makes sense.
We're at the peak. After this, it's become... it's, and that's what I was getting at with Netflix being around forever. It's not new. Like, I mean, it's not a new idea. The idea is starting to get hip now. And if it doesn't reach that plateau very soon, then it's just going to become, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Because the hype is going to die down. And if there's no, it's like the whole Black Friday thing. If nobody makes a big deal about Black Friday, no one's going to be pushing their hours to fucking Wednesday at 2:00 in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the bigger deal they make about it, the bigger chance you have of them saying, hey, everybody loves this, why are we only charging $7.99? Or, hey, everybody's watching our movies and you're only charging $7.99. Hey, if you want to continue to do this, now we're going to charge you triple, so you got to charge them quadruple.
Well, I would say the larger threat for this would come from, say, market fragmentation that, let's say, Sony wanted to start its own streaming media service.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And therefore they pull their content off of Netflix, right. Begin trying to vertically integrate all of their different movie lines into their own Sony streaming content and take
that
slice.
And that totally
of
buys in with my what I was saying with it being hot, so people starting to get, you know, seeing like, "Oh my god, we can make some money off of this."
And that's perfectly natural. That's how things work. Exactly. But I think that attempting to get, like, these weird exclusivity deals are going to be one of the larger contributing factors. Like, I can deal with that. If I want Sony stuff that badly, and if they were to split off, I could pay for it. But man, I will be damned if I have to describe how that works to my, you know, like my grandma or something. If
well, you know,
one of these devices.
That could, again, if Sony's going to create yet another middleman service, like you want to stream Sony Pictures content, you got to go through our streaming service. You know, maybe when you buy a Sony television, that's gratis. It comes with the TV. You can stream by default. But if you buy a Sharp television, you know, you got to buy that widget, or Sharp has to somehow license with them. And then you get back to a question of, is there going to be any kind of standardization of these these streaming plugins or whatever we want to call them, or is it just going to be the Wild West with every kind of software configuration, hardware configuration you can imagine?
See, and that's going to depend on where it comes from, because just like you said, with Sony, because they do make hardware, then they may pull an Apple and be like, okay, well, your stuff can only work, our stuff can only work on our stuff, and that's it. Whereas you get somebody Netflix, I can watch Netflix on my PC, I can watch it on my tablet, I can watch it on my Xbox, I can watch it on my PS3. To me, that's where it should be, but I understand the almighty dollar dictates it otherwise.
They're going to sell it to whoever wants to buy this stuff, but I would wonder if any companies would be willing to intentionally fragment the market to be able to leverage their own platforms, which seems like the major thing. But I believe a lot of the actual the content provider side and the hardware manufacturer side for a lot of these companies are so far apart within their own, you know, organizations that hopefully there won't be any, you know, specific lockout deals on hardware.
And they won't catch on for another couple of years or so.
I would just hate to see everything go down the I road. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, here I
you got to buy it from us. You can only get it from us. You can only watch it on this. And you can't even watch it on all of our stuff, only on these ones. It's just annoying.
Well, I mean, it's not like Apple blocks you from using iTunes on your Windows PC. It's more like some of the iTunes purchase content you have to go through iTunes for. It's a major thing, but still, you're not locked out based upon what hardware you buy in most situations, even with
right.
Apple.
Like earlier, I tried to parallel it with the music industry, and what I'm hoping is going on is that the movie and television industry is learning a lesson from where record companies and radio stations didn't learn, and they figure out a way to do this the right way, so that, yeah, you know, you can get it wherever you want it. Now, I don't know if it would be consolidated. I don't think it'll ever be. You know, you buy the Philips G136 and you can do it. You know, a single device. I don't think there's just too much hardware competition out there for that. But, yeah, I hope that they learn the lessons and they really do at least come together. I mean, as far as the content goes, we've got the compression. They're not going to be able to improve any of that. The only improvements would be in the user interfaces, possibly the hardware configuration, that sort of thing. The only thing I would like to see, and it may be there just because I'm a noob, I don't know it, is being able to, like, if I watch something, have it stored locally, you know, have an option, like, while I'm watching it, it's actually storing it.
Yeah, you can do that.
Where
yeah,
I can, you know, that
sort
of thing.
What DVRs do. Part of what DVRs do.
And you can do that on, like, Zune. You can download a movie. You could rent it and you've got it for like, you know, 2 days or 3 days.
Right.
Some of them have a purchase option where you just download it and it lives on your hard drive.
Sure.
So,
and
go ahead.
Where I was going to go is, you know, going back to the hard copies, you know, records, CDs and that sort of thing. I think the consumers of today and the consumers of tomorrow really have no exposure to that. I mean, kids today, they buy music, it's on a it's an MP3 player, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
So I mean us old guys,
it's never gone,
but you know what I mean. If
you can repurchase
hard drive crashes, yeah, you repurchase it.
All right, so, you repurchase, you re-download it from your cloud service, you re-download it from any of these other services where you've previously received this music. It's the music's never gone if your platform crashes.
Well, sure it is.
No, if I delete a game off my Xbox, it's immediately I'm able to re-download the game.
As long as the people from whom you purchase it maintain your license and maintain keep a record of the fact that you bought it, and that gets into the question of how long your sort of license when you buy something
right.
lasts and
if
how portable
it is. If I want
it
20 years from now, am I going to be able to get it? Because I can do that with my CDs that are 20 years old.
It's a fair question.
You know, somebody buys somebody out and the licensing changes and all of that stuff. I mean, you could easily – I mean, it hasn't happened and it may not happen. Hopefully they've got protections in place and any mergers and acquisitions handle that. But, I mean, there's that fear out there. I like having my CDs. I like having my movies because I can put them on whenever I want. And if it was on a hard drive and that hard drive crashed, do Do I really feel like going through the trouble, even if it is free to get, of getting it all over again? I'm like, you know, this sucks. Screw it. I'll watch something else.
I suspect the content providers hope no, and you'll just rebuy it.
Exactly.
So speaking of content, there was one last thing, one last plank, I guess, we didn't touch on. We naturally, I think, gravitated towards you know, movies and streamed content that way. And if things sort of follow the path that Rick laid out, where the game console is sort of the path to the all-in-one set-top box, that would sort of make sense, because the game console, in addition to having the ability to allow for streaming of just passive media for you to consume, actually has, like, the iron, so to speak, to run graphically intensive games and so on. But the one thing that I think maybe gets you around that need, and maybe lets, like, a television producer, you know, incorporate games into their system, is the possibility of streaming games, something akin to what the OnLive service does. I don't know if any of you've played with that, but basically,
how are the reviews for OnLive? They're not. It's not winning many hearts and minds over. Let's be honest.
I don't know that that's the case. I've not really read reviews. I've only got my own personal experience, and having played it on the computer, it's passable. It's not perfect, but I was able to play Borderlands and not feel like it was horrible.
Can you describe it a bit?
I
don't know what it is.
So basically, they run the games on their hardware and stream you the actual gameplay. So you. Borderlands is running on their, like, beefy server, and they're streaming you an image refresh. And you can do that on your computer right now. And they actually released a consoleized version, or a console that does the same thing, just basically streams. It's obviously very dependent on your network speed, and you got to, assuming that the infrastructure improves and, you know, network performance increases with time.
Is there a lot of load times and caching, or is it trying to do it as real time as possible?
There's the same load time there is, I guess, speaking only from my limited experience, there's the load time as the game loads.
Okay.
But you're not, like, you know, necessarily waiting for the stream to cache. This is just from my experience.
You could let the stream cache. The input lag would be absolutely unplayable. There's a very fine line between what's playable and what's unplayable regards to input lag.
Why would you do that? I mean, you own Borderlands, so... Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what this thing's purpose is. Is this a solution to the fact that, like, I don't want to upgrade my PC video card and everything else so I could purchase City of Heroes and finally get it to see it work?
That's exactly the idea, is that basically, you know, your laptop or whatever, you let their hardware do all the work, and they stream the experience to your machine, and you get to play the game. You know, clearly there's a little bit of loss from the compression, and it's not, I know Grant's going to make this point, and he's right, it's not one-to-one perfect, because there is a little bit of network latency that's going to mess up your experience. Now, you know, I don't know whether that's going to improve someday, but I guess my question is, assuming it does, assuming that they get that to an acceptable level where, you know what, this is a comparable experience without me having to buy physical hardware or physical disc or have a beefy, you know, computer, could that be a way for, like, a Sharp to integrate something like that into their television? So now you get a free OnLive subscription. So now you basically have a gaming system built into your television. Could that be a way for them to compete with the console makers who have the beefy hardware in your living room?
It sounds kind of like it's remote desktop gaming, right?
I was just going to say,
yeah, exactly. This sounds
a lot like me trying to talk my boss into the fact that I need a 4 or 16 core rendering system, and then I just log me in. Hey, I'm working from home today.
Well,
playing all kinds of games on it.
It's really analogous to that. I mean, I worked for a company that did just that. They did remote KVM over IP, and, like, you know, and it was pretty awesome. And these guys have basically taken that to another level where you're actually streaming real-time gameplay.
Cool.
Okay, quick question here. What's the top-selling console of this gaming generation? The one that's had the most mass market appeal that would be marketed to the type of people that you would expect to buy a television that would have integrated gameplay services?
I don't want to say it, but I'm going to guess Wii.
I'm going to say the PlayStation 3. No, it's the Wii.
I'm going to guess Xbox 360.
No, it's okay, so could you imagine a Wii-like solution or anything like that that would actually grab market attention being integrated into a television?
So you're saying, never mind the streaming, a sort of casual gaming console bolted right into the TV, Grant?
I'm doubting that you would see an integrated gaming/television platform like that, simply by looking at what has been the major sellers recently. I think a large part of the PlayStation 3's success has been, one,
stupidity.
The built-in Blu-ray player.
Right. I think that's the only driving force on it.
And the built-in media capabilities. Same thing with the Xbox. A lot of it's the built-in media capabilities, the video player, the integrated like Netflix service, all that. The integrated what was I looking for? Like the integrated movie and music players.
Cell processor.
What was that? The cell processor, Keith, is the big seller.
Because it has a cell processor.
Me too. Although much like I bought my PS2 because of the Emotion Engine. But you know, I'm not disagreeing with you guys. I think the console is the most likely path to the set-top box. I'm just trying to speculate as to whether or not there's another way involving streaming. So basically, all your entertainment is delivered via the network.
It seems like a lot of network bandwidth is starting to get clamped down on. A lot more companies are starting to put bandwidth limits on your access. And gameplay rendering or streaming seems like a pretty easy bit of fat to cut.
Well, that gets into almost a political discussion of why we have companies basically keeping us behind the rest of the world in terms of bandwidth, and for their own profit motives.
There, now we're talking. That's what we're all about.
Well, 1%, 1% of the internet uses 99% of the bandwidth.
Well, I am the 1%.
and I got pepper sprayed for downloading large files last night. So
South Korea can have insane internet speeds and like build out an infrastructure to deliver ever faster speeds to their people, but we seem to be acting like we're trying to get water in the desert here. I think it's an artificial scarcity by companies that don't want to spend to build up the infrastructure, and maybe it's time we thump them on the head a little bit.
Well, these are companies that have received government subsidies to improve the infrastructure too, and it never quite seems to happen like it should. Amazing.
Well, they improve the infrastructure by lowering its usage. See, improvement.
Well, great. I mean, you just mentioned that you got the Google TV, and I remember, what was it, almost 6 years ago when Google was buying up all that fiber that companies had laid down that wasn't being used. I've been waiting for that to come to some sort of conclusion.
No, they're building Skynet with that. It's not going to happen. They're building their horrible robotic domination network.
Right.
You know that they actually have they do have like a robot lab. Google does.
Really?
Yes, I will include it in the show links.
I think we should on another robot related show make that we should highlight that because that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
really
cool.
Curious to learn about it. Well, I mean, we basically, I'll sum up what I think we're all feeling here, which is that we may see something like a set-top box evolve out of consoles. Do we all agree that's the most likely eventuality if anything like this were to occur?
Well, if you integrate a proper content distribution of like video and music, such as if I can get what cable TV would offer through a console properly. Yes, I would be absolutely on board, and that would be my ideal.
Xbox Live TV, right there, it's coming.
It has to be up there. It can't be just Fox. It has to be a wide network.
No, it is your cable. It is your cable. You don't go through your regular box. You plug in.
And when is this coming?
I don't know exactly, but there's been tons of every Tuesday you get new news on your Spotlight and all that kind of stuff. It's been on there.
Okay, I'll read up on it. That seems like about what.
And basically, what it lets you do is use your Xbox like you would a cable box. You're still dependent on your cable company and everything. You just get your regular cable feed, and you know you don't have to. You can use your hard drive as the DVR. It's got its own controls. It's basically like a DVR TiVo type of device, just another feature to let you use your Xbox in conjunction with all your other media functions.
That sounds cool. So it sounds like we've got buy-in from Grant and Rick. Keith, assuming that the PS3 is the avenue as opposed to the Xbox, because you know you're a fanboy, are you on board as well with it as being a possibility?
Let me put it to you like this. I'm in the market for a television. I'm looking at the Panasonic TVs that have VieraCast, which has all of the inbuilt, you know, streaming and that sort of function. I like having that so that I don't have to turn on my PS3 to watch content. I could do it right from the TV on the TV's remote. So, I mean, it's the same functioning in two different places. I enjoy that. So, I'm happy with it being in the gaming console. They're pretty much everybody's got one these days, and if you don't, you know, you can continue to use your antenna to pick up your local network television. But digital at least.
Well, I would rather somehow get a magical television standard where Microsoft could release an Xbox module and Sony could release a PS3 module. You just bolt all these things in, have a wonderful, like, you know, slim profile device where everything's all together. You could sort of build your own entertainment system that's nevertheless a very small, compact, and elegant solution. But I agree with you guys that the console is the most likely avenue to this digital tomorrow.
And I believe that you just have a really hard time organizing cables, which drives a lot of your...
That's, I mean, you got to kind of look at it like...
That's true, Grant. That's true.
The game box of today pushes media like porn did for media in the 70s and 80s. It's what's used to set the standard.
That's how you ended up with VHS over beta. Yeah. I think that they're both pretty much neck and neck right now, honestly, as far as what's driving standards and what's
definitely
defining customer purchases. Like, I need a PC partially because of these two things. Can we edit that out? My God, I'm not going to talk about this.
I can't help but notice the conspicuous absence of adult entertainment on my streaming devices, and I am looking forward to that being added.
Entertainment actually has recently announced that they have a Google TV specific website for subscribers to their content.
I want it on my Xbox, man. I want Hulu Plus, Netflix, and Vivid Entertainment, all of them side by side.
Well, when the actual console or box provider has the ability to lock out certain content, unsavory providers will be, you know, will be incapable of pushing their wares, which is a bit unfortunate.
Mom, Timmy's watching Vivid again. Get off the Xbox.
Well, of course you need parental control, and obviously you're just joking there, but I do think there's something to be said for having whatever the platform is, you know, that's going to be distributing this media also be capable of consuming media from open sources.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm sort of pulling it out of the ether.
I think if it gets consolidated, it's going to be in televisions and not in boxes.
Those are old, dude.
I just think that...
The trend is always, you know, since the 90s at least, the trend has been you will see them trying to integrate what's hot and hip in other media into a TV. Right. And it's always the one that fails. I mean, do you remember when you used to be able to get NES in a TV?
Okay, they made them, and it was the VCR TV combos or
exactly
DVD TV. Same. Those things are the worst.
Exactly, and I think if it comes to an all-inclusive television, whether it be with hardware or apps,
what if it's made by Microsoft? What if it's made or the software is
That's what I was going to get at. If they made a, you know,
Panasonic TV licensed with Microsoft Xbox software,
almost like hey, this is the adult Xbox for those of you out there who, you know, that don't want a box sitting out there. They can have it built into their TV. Right. But the thing is, if it was done by, like, Microsoft, it's going to have that computer in there where it is going to be updatable. It is going to be like the Xbox is. Do you know what I'm saying? If it's made by the console company, I'm not against it being in a TV. If it's just made by the TV company and they're picking and choosing stuff and shit into a TV box, I think that's where it fails. And that's generally what you see.
To get back to the streaming thing I mentioned for games, I could imagine an OnLive or similar gaming streaming channel built in. And that's how I could see the gaming working on a TV. It's just like impulsive. You just go on that channel and play from a list, and that's it. Just right. Like it's on your hard drive, but it's not. It's streamed. Cool. Well, I think I touched on all the points that I wanted to hit on tonight with you guys. Generally, I think we see things going in some sort of consolidated direction, but we're sort of in a primordial period right now where we're seeing a sort of explosion in the number of streaming services and solutions as everybody tries to figure out how to sort of solve the problem of delivering content in the new digital age. I keep using digital like it's a futuristic term because it still sounds futuristic to me.
In the year 2000, that's going to be a prevalent term, I think.
It's all digital, bro. Analog, yeah. Nobody's going to even know what that word means. But cool, I think I'm ready to wrap it unless you guys have any other points to make on this topic.
I'm going to do a little more housekeeping here. Once again, we're on iTunes. That's delightful. Rate us, review us, follow us. Tell your friends about us.
Please. Bam.
Yes, please. Obviously, this show can't be made without our listeners. Well, absolutely. It could be made, but it would be a really, really lonely thing for us to do. So maybe, you know, just tell your friends, talk about the show. We would thank you. We would be thankful for that.
We would. I mean, we'd appreciate it if you gobble up our episodes and want to, you know, let us know how they are.
All right. What month has a holiday that we can't do puns about? Because that's when I'm finally going to start telling my friends.
What kind of turkey doesn't like a pun?
I'm going to go play Skyrim now. I'm booting up my console. I can't deal with this.
All right, gentlemen, peace.
All right, guys, see you later. Thanks for listening to tonight's Nerd Extravaganza podcast. Emphasis on the word thanks.
Gobble, gobble.
God damn it.